The wine grapes came off the vines months ago. The new growing season is not very far away, but only recently did the final figures for last year's wine grape harvest arrive from California. It was a very, very big harvest by historical standards. A record, in fact. So here's our chance to talk about California's wine grape crop in some detail, both past and possible future. Jeff Bitter is the vice president of the Allied Grape Growers Association based in Fresno. Jeff, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
So the stories about last year's harvest did come out in approximately mid-February. What takes so long to count?
Well, the state of California mandates that wineries report to them what they crush for any given vintage. And the vintages can last, all the way into November in many years. They're given a little bit of grace in how long they have to calculate and tally the totals and give the numbers to the state. And part of that is that it's not just a calculation of what they've received, but also what they're paying, because the same report that the state puts out that reports tonnage also reports price. So there's a little bit more there that sometimes is negotiated even through the end of the year with regard to grape prices paid.
All right, so the point of the report is to get the numbers not just on total pulled in and crushed, but also the amount of dollars that were gotten for that.
Exactly.
So tell us about the numbers. It sounds like very much an impressive year for California wine grapes.
Very much so. I think we're going to be impressed probably on almost an annual basis over the next few years, because what we've seen is a huge increase in the amount of acres being planted in California, and those obviously are going to yield more grapes as time goes on. And so, we're telling people this is kind of the new normal. These big crops, what we would historically have considered a big crop, is probably now what we're going to see on an annual basis. Barring certain weather events from Mother Nature that might prohibit that. One being the drought this year.
But unlike with other crops, it's not like you can't. It's not like you won't plant vines. I mean, they're there. I mean, it takes a couple of years for vine to produce grapes that are up to a wine level quality, right?
That's correct. Standard is about 3 years of non-bearing, mm-hmm. and by the fourth year, you're getting some crop, and probably by the fifth year, you're near full production. Fifth to sixth year, so depending on the vineyard and the site and the farming and all of those variables.
Would anything, if the year was really bad, if the grapes just weren't particularly good for whatever reason, drought or something else, I mean, would there be a fair amount of it just allowed to go to waste, either left to die on the vine or harvested but not crushed or something?
Yes, it's possible that, weather events could turn the fruit into an unusable product. Farmers have quite a bit of tools in their tool chest to combat that. Obviously, they're at it every year with regard to the weather, and every year brings different challenges. And so there's plenty of methods that can be put in place to avoid a situation where you have a complete crop loss. But, some things are more severe than others, and of course, extreme conditions, whether it's extreme heat, extreme drought, extreme rain, there's only so much that you can do to fight off the effects of that.
So the grapes really just kind of need that middle zone. I mean, moderation in all things, it sounds like.
Well, and that's why we're in California growing them, because California does offer that climate. It does offer the right soil profiles in the wine growing regions, and people plant things where they grow them successfully, and that's true nationwide, obviously. So California's climate is ideal, really, for growing grapes most of the time.
All right, so let's look at the numbers again. So I see that the total, this is all red and white varieties combined, 4.23 million tons crushed.
That's correct, which is, pretty good increase from last year, where we saw a record crush last year of just over 4 million tons. So up again by 5% this year. If I had to make a prediction or forecast about 2014, I would say that it's likely that we probably won't achieve that same number. The vines, like most trees and plants, They tend to want to take a rest if they've had a year where they've been stressed or they've produced a large crop. And so my guess would be that this year we'll see that number maybe relax just a bit.
So we back off just a bit from the 4.23 million?
I would make that estimate today, but I have to tell you that I said that same thing last year after we had the large crush in 2012. So, you know, Mother Nature has a funny way of doing things to the positive and negative. And so the guess would be after two large crops and some of the challenges we face here in California with the lack of water and the drought conditions, my guess would be we probably won't eclipse 4.23 this year.
All right, so let me get that straight. 2012 was a record at, let me see here, it's just a hair over 4 million
tons. That's correct.
Tons. And then you thought, okay, it's time for everything to relax, and it still jumped up 5%.
Exactly. We saw another crop that was, there's two factors involved there. We saw a crop that was large, again, above average across the state, which is not normally something you see. You don't normally see two above-average crops in a row. But in addition to that, we had quite a bit of new acreage coming into production that was planted, you know, back in the late, 2008, 2009, 2010 time period.
So what are we talking about for dollar value here? Because you mentioned right off the top that it's not just a matter of counting what got crushed, but also what got paid for that. So at 4.23 million tons in 2013 in California, what was the dollar value?
Well, the way that the state reports the values is by district and by variety. So they don't necessarily report a composite value for the crush. It can be inferred from the crush report by taking the average price paid for all grapes, multiplying it by the total number of tons crushed. But in reality, you've got lots of wineries in the state that grow grapes for themselves, and so they don't necessarily report a price paid to themselves. It's basically, in that case, just reported as tonnage crushed, but not necessarily given a specific value, because obviously they're vertically integrated, and that value's not reported to a third-party data collection. So certainly the value over time has gotten much bigger, and we anticipate it to continue to get bigger, but it's a function of both crop size and price. And
so you can have a really big crop size but not such a great price, perhaps, because there's such an abundance of grapes.
Exactly, and that's what you normally see in supply-demand situations, obviously, is the more you have, the less it's worth per unit. And so, it's really a situation of whether or not we're matching the supply that we have here in the state with the demand that we see from the consumer side. And I would say that, our projections show that at least in the immediate future, we are projected to be in balance with the demand and the pull-through from the consumer end.
Jeff Bitter is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the vice president of the Allied Grape Growers Association based in Fresno. We're talking about California's wine grape harvest for 2013, which was a record yet again at 4.23 million tons. The California Association of Wine Grape Growers, it's a different association, reports a total crop worth $3.16 billion with a B dollars last year. You can join our discussion on the exchange. You might have questions or comments about the whole process of winemaking and how it relates to California's agriculture industry. Phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Rogue Valley local number 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like from what you've been saying that the largest factor in the growth is just more acres planted with wine grapes?
Absolutely. And with any agricultural product and any product in general, your consumer is going to dictate supply ultimately and what needs to be produced for the marketplace, and the last few years we've seen quite a bit of growth in the wine business. In fact, I would say over the last two decades we've seen very steady growth in the wine business of about 3% per year compounded. So consumers are definitely pulling the product through the system, and California, in my opinion, is doing an excellent job of providing consumers with what they want at very affordable prices.
Is that trend expected to continue? I'm just wondering if at some point we reach saturation. It seems like so many people are drinking wine now who perhaps used to enjoy other kinds of alcoholic beverages. I mean, is there a projection that at some point this will plateau out or maybe even begin to decline a bit?
Well, what we look at as an industry when we try and forecast how things will go in the future is kind of segments of the population by age groups. And one of the things that that we've seen is that the millennial generation, which now the youngest of that generation is still not quite of drinking age, but, you know, will be in the next few years. There's kind of a 15-year span there for that generation, 15 or 20 years, that it was a very large populous generation. In fact, it was about as populous as the baby boomer generation.
These are the kids of the baby boomers, aren't they?
Exactly. They're close to the, you know, 70 million millennials, basically, in the nation. And they look favorably upon wine. And, you know, the desire of the industry, of course, would be that they make wine a lifestyle choice, and that's not something that is associated with a certain point in their life where they would, you know, then not consume it later on in life. And we feel pretty strongly that, you know, if you're making a lifestyle choice to enjoy wine at a younger age, you're most likely going to continue that throughout your life. And so we see some pretty encouraging, you know, numbers when we look at the sheer, you know, volume of this segment of the population and what the potential is for us in the future to continue to supply, you know, the wine that they would like to drink.
So, Jeff, what are the real growth areas then in the wine industry in California? Because when I think back two decades plus, it seems like when people said wine country, they meant Napa, Sonoma. But I've learned from colleagues who work in Los Angeles, for example, that their definition of wine country is very different. You know, there's a bunch of different wine countries scattered around California now.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeff. The reality is, and it's a little known fact, but the reality is that about 75% of all of the volume of wine that comes out of California is actually grown in the interior region of the state, it's basically an irrigated desert. And so, you know, there's very little romance associated with the vineyards and wineries of the interior part of the state.
not the real romantic wine country.
Yeah,
right.
It's not the Napa and Sonoma that you see, you know, depicted all over the media. Napa and Sonoma collectively, and you can probably see this in the report there, that they have a little less than 400,000 tons of grapes between the two areas together, right around 400,000 tons between the two areas together in a crush that was over 4 million. So, you know, they're about 10% of the total California crush. And so it's a little bit misleading in terms of what you see and hear on the media and then what the actual product volume is for those respective areas.
All right, so most of it in the interior. Would that generally around Fresno, for example, Fresno, Bakersfield, Modesto, that whole general area?
Yes, and up into a growing and very popular wine region called Lodi. The Lodi area, mm-hmm. as well. That's kind of the northern part of the interior of the state. And so, yes, it would include all of those areas that you mentioned as well.
Given that the growing conditions, I mean, California's governor declared a drought in January about a month ago now. Mm-hmm. Given the set of growing conditions you're facing this year, I can only guess that the response to, hey, you know, we had a great crush last year was, well, gee, this year could be a bit different.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it kind of goes against logic to say that we'll have a third large crush in a row. And so, I think that's probably true for many crops, not just wine grapes, that this drought that we're facing and the lack of water, basically surface water, is going to negatively impact the production capacity of many things throughout the state, but particularly a lot of the annual crops that are planted and row crops that are planted on the interior's west side.
How water intensive are wine grapes? I mean, you know, versus something like, say, rice, which obviously has to grow in very wet conditions. I mean, it wouldn't be quite to that extent, but I mean, versus some of these row crops, for example.
Well, wine grapes are probably one of the smallest uses of water when you compare them to other permanent crops. So if you're comparing them to almonds or stone fruit or different crops that are permanent in nature, and you know, generally they're trees, not vines, so they're going to take more water to grow crops on those lands. And so wine grapes are generally fairly low as by permanent crop standards, and I would say a good number that that you could kind of use across the board is wine grapes use anywhere between an acre and a half to 3 acre feet of water per year. And so you imagine basically a, you know, an acre being covered in a foot and a half to 3 feet of water. That's how much a vineyard would use per year per acre.
All right. So and does the drought declaration do much good for people who are growing wine grapes in this coming year?
Well, it depends on where you're growing. It's a little bit complicated in California because the water system here is not a single system. It's multiple systems. There's multiple ways to access water depending on where you're at, what watershed you're in and a part of, and what your source of water is. And some of it's state, some of it's federal, some of it's local. There's irrigation districts in some areas. So it will and can help certain segments of the valley, probably those that need it the most.
All right. So the places that are hardest hit are the ones that are going to get the most help, it would appear.
That's the way it's looking right now. But, you know, really the solution for us is a longer-term investment in infrastructure and storage.
All right. We will hope to have this conversation again in a year and get to come back and say, all right, you said 4.23. You helped me relax a little bit. We'll see where we go in the 2014 growing season for wine grapes in California. Jeff Bitter is the vice president at the Allied Grape Growers Association based in Fresno. Jeff, thanks for your time today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. That'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. We will talk about war versus diplomacy with Phyllis Bennis in hour number two. She's from the Institute for Policy Studies and will be in Eugene next week. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange.